The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Well, hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to email the program, send those comments to td at kpcg.fm. Well, thanks to Brent Noctegal for filling in yesterday and on relatively short notice. He and his wife and their little baby, their newborn, their two-month-old, just made it into Edstone late Tuesday night. And then he hopped in the booth here yesterday. Well, I put together a couple of lectures for PYC here at Edstone, which is in full swing. Gave a couple of lectures yesterday, one on just becoming or encouraging our youths to become more cultured and refined. And then I gave an address to just the gals on womanhood as well. So hopefully some of that material I can repackage and bring to you perhaps in a slightly different format later on with a future radio show. This morning, even though it ate into my preparation time, I was able to get outside along with Brad McDonald and to join the two boys' dorms for a really competitive soccer game. It ended in a 1-1 draw, and then we had enough time to run a penalty shootout with just three of the nine campers going against each other. We got to the end of those three, both teams having scored two goals in the shootout. And then we just went one by one until it was getting dangerously close to me and Brad McDonald squaring off at the very end. But thankfully, who was it that broke through the juggernaut? Who scored? Who's that? Nathan Weiss. No, he was on our team. He scored, but it was someone else on the other team, on 2B. That one, well, it escapes me. In any event, we were the losing side, 1B was, and 2B won the exciting game. There was quite a lot of sports this morning for both periods. And then this afternoon, there's a really exciting activity for everyone, a field trip heading into Stratford-upon-Avon, where we'll be able to see Shakespeare's birthplace and also where he was buried and then the Royal Shakespeare Company as well, the big theater in downtown Stratford. This is a big touristy season for Stratford, so hopefully it won't be too crowded for 50 or 60 more people coming from Edstone to meander through the streets of that beautiful and quaint little town. Shakespeare's home. I'll talk a little bit more about that in the final segment. And hope that following on the lecture on becoming a more cultured individual, that today's excursion for the youths will not only be enjoyable and fun, but also educational. Well, if you're awaking to headlines coming out of the UK, you've probably seen news now of the knife attack, this time in downtown London. One woman has been killed and five others so far have been injured, and in the last report I saw, it looks like the suspect, the knife wielder, was a 19-year-old of Somali origin, so they're not ruling out terrorism at this point. You've got all the standard lines in the liberal leftist media that we can't be sure what motivated this kind of attack. It could be just someone who is mentally unstable, but as the facts roll in, I'm sure we'll find that this latest attack is very similar to some of the others that we're seeing across Europe. It made me think of a column that Melanie Phillips, a timely one now as it turns out, one that she wrote earlier this week about how that the new prime minister here in the UK, Theresa May, needs to wake up to the reality of Sharia. Melanie Phillips wrote this while she was Home Secretary. Theresa May set up an independent inquiry into the operation of Islamic law in the UK as administered by Sharia courts or councils. At its launch, May said, quote, some Sharia councils may be working in a discriminatory and unacceptable way. Contrary, she said, contrary to the teachings of Islam, they may not be working. They may be somewhat discriminatory. And that goes contrary to the teachings of Islam. And Melanie Phillips says here, accordingly, the review would examine how Sharia was being, quote, misused or exploited to cause discrimination and other social harm. And Melanie Phillips then says, the error, and it is absolutely fundamental, is to think such harm is caused by un-Islamic misuse of Sharia. As Mania, this is quoting a critic from Zurich University, a professor who wrote a book about Sharia, Melanie Phillips says, as Mania says, it's caused by Islamic law itself. It's Sharia that holds that a woman's testimony is worth half that of a man, that condones marital rape, forced marriage, and honor-based violence, and that puts women in burqas. It's Sharia rulings on marriage, divorce, children, property, and inheritance that violate fundamental human rights and equality for women. In other words, it's Sharia law that violates British law. And here was Theresa May when she set up the independent inquiry. Here she was saying, look, we're looking into it. We're looking into the fact that it could be discriminatory and unacceptable. And contrary to the teachings of Islam. Melanie Phillips says further, it's Sharia that also orders the harshest possible punishments for apostates, blasphemers, and homosexuals. And she goes on and draws a distinction between Sharia courts as compared to Jewish religious courts in Britain, which recognize that Jewish laws are subject to the overriding laws of the land. Sharia doesn't do this. This Mania, who wrote a book, Women in Sharia Law, she says that the theoretical equality bestowed upon Muslim women by domestic law is in practice meaningless inside Britain's closed Islamic communities. They're closed off. They're operating on their own under Sharia. Manea is devastating about the way Britain has allowed these closed communities to spread. You see, they're spreading. They're spreading. There was another story in the press today about new restrictions put upon public swimming areas in Luton, where there's an airport just 15 miles or so north of London. I think 25% of Luton is Muslim. And so they're putting in place strict rules about what you're able to wear in separate places or times for when women can even go in there. And this is right in, you know, suburbs of London, basically. Phillips says in her piece, through its multicultural paralysis, it created an invented community of Muslims led by Islamists whose status was inflated by British authorities. This spread political Islamism through communities which it sealed off from the rest of Britain. Not only does this oppress Muslims, but it undermines democracy by establishing a parallel legal jurisdiction. And then Phillips writes here, May herself suggested Sharia was one of various religious codes and practices that she said benefited many British people of different faiths. In fact, Sharia entraps and enslaves many British people. That's what she needs to wake up to now that she's in the chief office, prime minister. She needs to wake up to the reality of Sharia. Phillips says Muslim countries such as Tunisia, Morocco, and Bangladesh reject Sharia in favor of mostly secular laws. Many British Muslims are anxious to live under the legal protection of human rights. So why does the British establishment allow this parallel jurisdiction to thrive? Britain should have drawn a line in the sand over Sharia long ago. Why are they allowing this parallel jurisdiction? I mean, this is the land of Britain, after all. You talk about the breakdown of the rule of law. We talk about it often with respect to what's happening in the United States and the attack on law enforcement, the attack on the police. Well, what happens here in the UK when you have these separate Muslim communities developing right within the UK and these parallel systems of jurisdiction? It's crazy. You think about the prophecies of those rising from within. In Deuteronomy 28, the tail becoming the head and vice versa. We're seeing it happen for sure. The Globe and Mail had a piece today, Darkness Over Europe, talking about all of these attacks, which we've certainly been stressing a lot here of late, because it's in the news repeatedly. You can add another attack now to the list, evidently with what happened this morning in London. The Globe and Mail says here, it doesn't take much to spread terror. You don't need fancy weapons or a network of co-conspirators. All you need is a truck, a homemade bomb, a knife, or an axe to inflict maximum fear. Later on, their leaders have few answers for them. We should learn to live with terrorism, French Prime Minister Manuel Valls said after the Nice attack. And then it quotes German Chancellor Angela Merkel, who's been doubling down on her welcome culture asylum policy. We've got to stick to our fundamental principles, she said. The Globe and Mail says here, Germans are not reassured. Germans are not reassured by this. We've got to keep the doors open. We've got to stick to our core principles. Well, as I covered earlier this week, already she's losing support even from those that used to back her, like Horst Seehofer down in Bavaria. Bavaria is a conservative region in the south. And it's hit hardest, really, by this migrant wave. And then here in the last few weeks, it's been hit hardest by these terrorist strikes. It says here, the problem of a self-radicalizing young people who find self-actualization and destruction will be with us for many years to come. But whether moderate pragmatism will prevail is very much in doubt. Notice this conclusion. An end to immigration, mass deportations, harsh restraints on civil liberties, all are possible. What happens in Europe could make Donald Trump seem like a nice guy. You think they're concerned, many of them in the United States, about borders and security. Well, as it said earlier in this piece, the Germans are not reassured. And when Manuel Valls comes out and says, we've got to learn to live with terrorism, the French, they're not reassured. Well, we'll see what happens here in Britain. The Telegraph today. Now, if I can see it on the... It says armed police and other officers were being deployed in response to the attack. While no motive has been established, this is talking about the knife attack from this morning. Police said terrorism was one line of inquiry that we should explore. Londoners will wake up this morning to notice an increased presence on the streets of officers, including armed officers, today. That's quoting the assistant commissioner down in the city. Well, we've got our excursion today in Stratford. Next week, by the way, we're going to London to see the British Museum with all of the campers. And this latest attack it was just around the block pretty much from that museum. That's the world that we live in. There was a poll just the other day that showed that the heavy majority of asylum seekers, those coming into Europe, and you've heard this before, but the statistics are now bearing it out clearly. All of these people that are fleeing from war-torn regions like Syria and Libya, they're all families, right? Well, the statistics are showing that the heavy majority are young men under the age of 35. In other words, the strongest of these population centers in the Middle East and North Africa, the strongest, the youngest, and the ones that tend to swing over to the radical camp the easiest. Look at the ages of all these attackers. Look at the age of the attacker this morning, 19 years old. Look at the one that stabbed that Jewish girl in the West Bank a few weeks back. She was 13. He was, what, 18 or 19? There have been reports of stabbing attacks in Jerusalem brought on by teenagers in their young teen years, 13, 14, 15 years of age. And some of these others in Europe, 19 years old, 21, 22. Most of them coming in. They're under the age of 35. And they're going after anyone and everyone that they can stab. Today's victim was a 60-year-old woman. A 60-year-old woman that this guy was able to kill. Women, children, babies. Doesn't matter. And of course, now they're becoming more bold and audacious in going after the Catholic Church. That's going to arouse a sleeping giant. I've talked earlier about what will change in Germany and in the Vatican. Foreign Policy has a piece talking about the jihadis bent on this clash of civilizations. They're trying to bring on the clash. The clash that, as you know, is prophesied in Daniel 11:40. They're going after French Catholics. Foreign Policy says, whatever the extent of Western reluctance or prudence, the truth is there's no better way to shake Europe out of what many now see as its guilt-ridden paralysis than to assault French Catholicism, the oldest, most ingrained force that transcends nationalism in Europe's most powerful, proud nation. They're going after this old, most ingrained force. History has long prepared this seemingly revolutionary moment. If in one sense, post-war French Catholics like Robert Schuman, one of the European Union's founding fathers and the architect of the European integration plan, were innovators. In another, they simply recapitulated a vision of continental unity as old as Charlemagne. However vital the force and thrust of political rationalism, mere secularism could never make European civilization as whole as Christian Rome had once made it. And then it covers some history that you've read about before at thetrumpet.com and in the plain truth of old. It says here, even Napoleon Bonaparte, despite his tyrannical embrace of ancient cruelty and modern statism, recognized the centrality of the church to France's unique claim on European leadership by having the Pope coronate him as France's emperor in 1804. Even Napoleon recognized that it needed to be this church-state union. That's what the Bible prophesies it will be. It's spelled out there in all kinds of detail in Revelation 17, the woman straddling the beast. The woman, of course, representing the church. A great false church, a universal church. It says, having subsequently snuffed out the Holy Roman Empire in 1806, he cemented Europe's new Catholic imperium by marrying his defeated adversary's daughter, Marie Louise. His wife's parents, Emperor Francis, and his wife, Maria Theresa, continued to rule the Austrian Empire after the Holy Roman Empire's dissolution. This is in their roots. This goes all the way back to Charlemagne, this foreign policy article brings out. It says, today, no historically Catholic country maintains the strength and significance of France, even at its relatively low ebb, and none can look forward to mustering anything comparable. In Europe, both politicians and the Pope all but deliberately mischaracterize Islamist violence as senselessly absurd, as Pope Francis has focused attention on the weakest and most vulnerable to arrive on Europe's shores or perish in their attempt. His plea that refugees are not dangerous but in danger has run up against the hard truth that among the hundreds of thousands of newcomers are enough killers to keep horrific bloodshed in the news and in public nightmares. Here we awaken to more news this morning of horrific bloodshed in downtown London. It says, while the willful pontiff labors to prove that charity and solidarity are two sides of the same coin, France's increasingly devout Catholic insurgents see and paint a darker picture. It goes on to talk about what the National Front figure, Le Pen, what she or how she reacted to the attack in Nice, tweeting a message saying, look, we've got to wake up here. Look at what's happening. It says Marine Le Pen wasn't finished. Hours after her first appeal, she urged Christians worldwide to unite against Islamism. And then the coup de grace. Faced with the threat weighing on France, I've decided to join the military reserve. I invite all young patriots to do the same. That's from Le Pen. And then foreign policy says here, the logic may be unnerving, but it's crystal clear for Le Pen and Europeans starve for leadership, consistent with patterns adhered to for centuries on end. It is Islam's would-be holy warriors who have invited a defensive crusade, and the time has come to give it to them. I mean, just think about this in light of what we've covered in Daniel 11. And then the history and what we've been saying. There's going to be one final crusade. One final resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire to come out of Europe, right out of the heart of Europe. And then this piece here, foreign policy, saying that, well, they're starved for leadership in Europe. And it is time, given the would-be holy warriors coming from radical Islam. It is time for a defensive crusade. And of course, we know from the prophecies that that's going to turn into an offensive crusade. And in a hurry, as the king of the north goes against the king of the south, after one push, after another push, after another push, it's going to go against that southern king like a whirlwind, with many ships, chariots, and so on, to use the Bible language. And a lot of nations are going to be drawn into the conflict. Wow, I mean, that's foreign policy, talking about Europeans starve for leadership and how that Europe needs to respond to this by going on a crusade, capital C. Well, they want the holy war, so we've got to give it to them. Where do you suppose this is leading? Well, I've got one last piece here. I think it's the last one I collected here this morning, but just to bring it back to this attack here in Britain, the one in downtown London this morning, the knife attack, killing one 60-year-old woman, injuring, I think, five or six others. And then you see this report from the Telegraph about the weakening British Navy, used to have the most powerful Navy in the world. Not that long ago. I mean, you can go back a few generations and Britain ruled the seas. Well, now there's people that are just calling on the Navy to try to get strong enough to at least secure the borders, because we've got so many migrants trying to get in on little boats across the channel. And this Telegraph article points out how that the British Navy doesn't have the funds to build or to equip or to man the next generation of warships. How about that? Where does this trend lead? How does this end? How do you write the final chapter of this particular trend? The Telegraph says naval experts believe the real reason the pride of the Navy is sitting at anchor on the South Coast is that thanks to defense cuts, the senior service is struggling to keep its fleet of state-of-the-art warships operational. So they had some upgrades in years past, but now they don't have the staff or the funding to maintain it. They don't have the personnel to operate it, if you can believe it. It's not as though the world is short of threats at the moment, the Telegraph says. At home, the government's struggling to cope with an upsurge in boats trying to smuggle illegal immigrants from the continent into small ports and yachting marinas. Farther afield, the more aggressive conduct being displayed by the Russian and Chinese navies raises serious doubts as to whether international shipping will continue to enjoy the freedom of navigation deemed essential for maintaining the flow of global trade. It goes on and talks about some of the hardware and some of the struggles that they're having. They've had some similar failures that the United States has had with some of their new ships, some of their new destroyers, brought into service in 2010 and plagued by a series of engine failures. And so now the government is out tens of billions of pounds just to try to fix these destroyers. It says the cost of fixing the Type 45s, moreover, comes at a time when the Navy's already suffering from underfunding. Chronic underfunding, together with the Treasury's demand that all three services continue to cut costs as part of its austerity drive, has hit the Navy hard, both in terms of building new ships and paying for the crews to operate them. This is unbelievable, really. Particularly when, in a rather understated way, the Telegraph says earlier in this piece, I read it to you, it's not as though the world is short of threats at the moment. I mean, look at the threats, the dangers that's facing Britain right now. Whether it's internal or whether it's coming, if you look at it in the larger sense, whether it's coming from the continent, from Russia, from China. Here later it says, arguably, an even bigger problem for the Navy is the severe manpower shortages it's suffering as a result of the 2015 SDSR, which has resulted in struggling to man the ships it does have available. So there's a shortage. There's a shortage of funding, and there's a shortage of manpower, and there's ships basically just sitting there at the southern border, docked. And now the British Navy, the once mighty British Navy, they're having to find crewmen from the U.S. Coast Guard to help. To help operate these ships. To help secure the southern border. That's the state of the British Navy today. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. Later on in the program, we're going to be playing for you some sounds of PYC. I think many of you out there listening to today's program will really enjoy the way we conclude today's program. Sounds from Edstone, PYC 2016. That's coming up later on in the show. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily.
Herbert W. Armstrong long forecast the arrival of a military superpower in Europe. In a world where European nations can't rely on the United States, one in which they fear Russia and face the constant threat of radical terror, their only hope of survival is to band together. This is what we see happening, and what we see happening was prophesied in your Bible. Request Germany and the Holy Roman Empire, to learn about the history of Germany and the Holy Roman Empire, and to understand where the events in Europe today are leading. 3,000 years ago, the prophet Daniel explained that, at the time of the end, radical Islam would push against Europe. That time is now. We are witnessing the first manifestations of this Islamist push against Europe, and it's leading to a spectacular clash between these two prophesied kings, the King of the North and the King of the South. What does the Bible say about the identity of these two kings? What about the end time? Will everyone be affected by these events? Request our two booklets, The King of the South and Germany and the Holy Roman Empire. To learn more, please visit thetrumpet.com. The Trumpet Daily Radio Show airs every morning at 7 a.m. Central Time on KPCG 101.3 FM in Edmond, Oklahoma.
Last weekend, we had a TV program here in the UK, Watch and Pray. It was posted on thetrumpet.com. on the same weekend, and it was interesting going in. That was the program in which we had sort of the timeline of events from 2016. We went through that on the radio several weeks back, and then kind of repackaged it, put it together with some really sobering scriptural passages, and then offered the Epistles of Peter booklet, as well as the correspondence course. And as strong as that program was, I watched it again myself Saturday morning. The total request that came in for the literature amounted to only 100. So that was significantly lower than the previous week, which I think brought in close to 200, maybe over 200. I didn't get that final figure added to my notes here. In any event, it was a strong program, but we have offered the Epistles of Peter booklet, I think as recently as 2 or 3 months ago. And then, of course, every time we offer the correspondence course, and part of it may be because of how big it is, that the requests do seem to be lower than for some of the other offers. In any event, that's what we had this past weekend. And coming up this weekend, let's see if I can pull it out from my memory bank. Yes, I believe we went through the first chapter of Revelation, and we offered either the Royal Book of Revelation or Daniel in Revelation, and then I believe the who or what is the prophetic beast. So that'll be posted tomorrow, and it'll play here in the UK on Saturday and Sunday. So we'll let you know next week how that program performs. If you haven't looked at our YouTube channels in a while, the Trumpet Daily YouTube channel and the Key of David, my father's Key of David YouTube channel. You'll notice now that both of those channels have over 15,000 subscribers. I think the Trumpet Daily finally passed 15,000 last week. So both of them now, after several years in service, we've accumulated 15,000 subscribers for both. Now, I also want to update you on some of the SoundCloud stats. From July, again, I was thinking of getting into this on Monday. I just didn't get around to it. It was at the bottom of my notes Monday and Tuesday, and I just never got to the bottom of my notes. And so here we are. But if you recall, back in June, this is the best reading, really, that we have on the size of our listening audience. There certainly are some unknowns out there. We can keep a pretty good idea, I think, of how many listen into the live stream each day, And there's a few other things that are a little bit easy to track, but the SoundCloud plays, they pretty much speak for themselves. You can see it right when you go to SoundCloud, how many people have listened to this particular episode. But looking at the month as a whole, June was our record month, as we got 31,500 plays. 31,500 plays on SoundCloud, so basically averaging just a little over 1,000 plays. This is just for the Trumpet Daily Radio Show, not for any of the other programs that we play on KPCG. So we finished June at 31,500. And if you remember when we got our start into July, of course, I was out of town for a few days of that as we had some substitutes fill in. And we started July really off pretty slowly. It got off to a slow start. But then by the end of July, and there were some major events, of course, that happened, like the Dallas attack on those police officers back on the, I guess that was the 7th of July. But anyway, by the end of July, we had 33,100 plays on SoundCloud. So we went from 31.5 to 33.1 in the following month. So that now is our new record, 33,100 plays for the month of July. Now, I'll tell you the same thing I said at the start of July. August is off to a little bit of a slow start, so we've got some ground to make up here in these next several weeks, as hopefully we top 33.1 and maybe get up over, for the first time, 35,000. We'll see how that goes. That was something coming into this summer and talking to some of the guys here at Edstone that we really did want to try to focus on. And, you know, it's been kind of a crazy summer in some respects. Camp's in full motion right now, so I can't say that we've just sat down and thought about it and brainstormed about it every single day, how we can grow the audience. But it is good, nevertheless, to see the audience grow. It has been growing. It's been slow and steady, but it has been growing. The most popular shows for the month of July, by the way, the one we produced back on July 22nd, this was from Monday's figures. They might be slightly higher after a couple more days. In any event, the title of that program, Trump, and then his quote, "Nobody knows the system better than me, which is why I alone can fix it." That was a Friday show from a couple of weeks ago, and that had 1,920 plays. And then the one about the 5 Dallas police officers being gunned down, also a Friday program, played on July 8th. That was 1,746 plays. And then EU Army on the Way, that was actually put up on the tail end of June, but it got 1,698 plays in the month of July. So you can see our more popular programs typically are the ones posted on Friday. They do stay in that top slot on the trumpet.com site for an extra 2 days because of the weekend. And it's also, I think, indicative of how some of our listeners perhaps will catch up on the latest program on Friday or perhaps through the weekend. In any event, some really good numbers all the way around coming in from SoundCloud. A few emails here that have also stacked up over the last week or so. This one from the Bahamas. "Thank you and all the dedicated staff at Edmund and Edstone for the clear-eyed, in-depth, sober, and informative programs that you produce on the Trumpet Daily. Who can't but love the steadiness and tranquility of 1 hour with the Trumpet Daily? In contrast, I listened to post-DNC convention coverage on Thursday evening, and for the length of time that my ears could stand it, 99% was nothing but bickering, snide comments, and partisanship. Not one sensible solution to the mounting problems plaguing Israel." It says here, "As this present world burns to the ground, thank God that the TD provides such a valuable service to anyone seeking truth and gives God's perspective on the horror of current events as well as the solutions to these horrors. Keep up the good work." This one here says, this is from one of our female listeners. "This was a most enjoyable hour. Thank you for sharing Mr. Jacques' history of Poland." This is from a program, I think, that we put together last week. It might have even been in response to Brent Noctegal. In any event, later on, it says Mr. Jacques' history of Poland and Pope John Paul's visit to Poland in 1980 and how it related to the breakdown of the Berlin Wall. History that I never held clearly in my mind. However, the greatest clarity came when Mr. Noctegal showed clearly why the Catholic Church will be the one to unify Europe, that Europe will be fighting for their identity. This one here comes in from Sydney, Australia. "Greetings from Sydney. My husband and I listen to your programs on a constant basis, streaming them either directly from the KPCG website or from SoundCloud. Sometimes I leave one room of the house where I'm listening and go into my husband's office where he is listening to the program. I can't escape you. She can't get away from me. That's scary. It says, we would like to give you and your staff a special thanks for your latest program on manliness. That's the one we did Tuesday. We're expecting our first child, a son. And since he is 38 weeks along, so she's just about to give birth. This is a former student, by the way, of Armstrong College. 38 weeks along, so we congratulate her and look forward to receiving news soon of the new addition to that household. In any event, since he's 38 weeks along, he can listen to you as well. He's very well acquainted with your voice already since he's heard the program, since he developed his hearing at around 20 weeks. Thank you for the timely instruction to both of his parents and to him as well. Maybe now he won't cry when he's born since he was told to be more tough. That's what we went through on the manliness instruction from Tuesday. More seriously, she says here, we really appreciate the updates and the instruction the TD provides to help keep us focused and involved in the work. Another one here in response to that program on biblical manhood from Tuesday. It says, today's Trumpet Daily was a great blessing to me. I feel refreshed and encouraged. The timing of such topics is no doubt God sent. Thank you for your unwavering dedication. Surely we must all do our parts in finishing the work. This one here from a young lady in Alabama. It says, I listen daily to this wonderful source of world news, sometimes all day. I wonder if any Americans remember the Soviet Union leader Nikita Khrushchev pounding his shoe on the podium at the UN. America is being buried by communism, just as he said we would be, and we embrace it. Thank you. Thank Almighty God for a remnant that loves and keeps his truths and tirelessly gives to this sick and dying world. This next one here coming in from Northwest Arkansas, and he writes, thoughts coming as I am listening to the show. I appreciate all the clips from Mr. Reagan and that you've been able to retrieve and share with us. This is the greatest history lesson because I and perhaps others missed out on that because we were too busy or maybe just not interested. Well, I'm interested now. Thank you all for speaking out, speaking truth. This comes from Northwest Arkansas, a Northwest Arkansas transplant from the Big Island, Hawaii. So that's one of our dear listeners who's relocated from Hawaii to Northwest Arkansas. Another one here from South Florida. This is an encouraging one too. I listen absolutely every day. I simply cannot stand the inappropriate music on main radio or our local news, which amplifies unnecessary news. I love you guys. I love this church. Also, please know I finished my first book from your literature library, The Ten Commandments. What an amazing book. Wow. It completely changed my views on how to be a Christian and my view about God, the eternal. I'm in love. Thank you all so very much. This one here comes from one of our listeners in Cyprus who writes, thanks so much for the TD of August 1st. So this would have been Monday where we went through, well, just that appalling story of the youth camps in ISIS-controlled territories. He says here, it's bittersweet. Such a tragic world now with some people already in great tribulation level suffering. We can grieve for the world, yet for a tiny few, we can have hope and yearn for a more or a much better world. It says here, that's the world being learned at PYC Edstone by the campers, as you brought out. Thanks for inspired hope in such a grievous time. And then last one here, again from Florida. It says here, I've really enjoyed the programs lately. Having recently graduated from college, I've been keeping up with the Trumpet Daily more consistently. It has helped me stay connected to God's work. Each morning, I have a 55-minute commute to work, and it's the perfect time to listen to TD. I love starting my day off listening to the program. I've known the truth my whole life. But in the past, it was so easy for me to become numb and blind to all that's happening. But now there are too many major events and way too many prophecies being fulfilled that they just stare you in the face. I'm thankful for this program because it adds so much necessary analysis to these events. Thank you for all the work that goes into the program because it's helping me to make sure that I'm watching and praying. That listener also happens to be a graduate of Armstrong College and one that came up to me recently on my trip through Florida about a month ago and just expressed his thanks for the AC program, for the curriculum, for the liberal arts education and training. And he said, I can remember you and other instructors talking about how that if we put God first and got that broad general education, that then God would give us the specific training and skills that we needed outside of that liberal arts education to go on from there and to get a good job. He left AC and went to Florida and went to a job fair and met with several potential employers. And after a few days, he had, I think he said, two or three job offers from pretty good companies. One of them, in fact, happened to tell him that one of the biggest weaknesses of young people coming out of college or university today is that they just think they know too much. And he said to this AC graduate, if you're humble and teachable, if you're willing to learn, you can go places in this company. I'm not sure if that's the job that he accepted. In any event, he got a job right away, and he's very excited about it, as he should be. Well, as I mentioned, we will finish today's show with some of the sounds of PYC. You might hear some. I haven't even heard this yet. This has been assembled by Jesse Hester, and Sam's about to hit play in the booth. But these are some of the sounds just from the first 3 days of PYC at Edstone. Before that, though, let me just sign off by saying that this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to be one of the many emails that we go through on this program, just send those comments to td@kpcg.fm. Thank you for joining us today, and enjoy some of the sounds of PYC.
And they get to be put up on display. I think dorm-wise, our favorite activity would be rugby.
Yeah!
We really do love rugby. We tend to fall a lot, but that's okay.
It's hard to
Yeah, so we have a lot. We're going into Stratford today, so that's really exciting. We're going to see the birthplace of food! Okay.
It's the birthplace of food!
Birthplace of Shakespeare.
We have cheesy eggs. We have cheesy eggs and hash browns and beans and toast and sweetbreads and tomatoes and cheese
and butter.
And Weetabix.
Have a guess.
Two.
Happy beans.
Take me to the
Oh, beans. Yeah.
Take you to the
limit.
Oh, you want some more? Awesome.
I
usually have Sarah or something.
been on the radio?
Eventually.
Oh.
You're the one who's excited about today.
Basketball!
Rugby.
And Stratford.
So far, what has been your most favorite activity?
Rugby.
Well, soccer.
Basketball, soccer,
oh, yeah.
Cricket.
Yeah,
rugby.
Basketball,
soccer,
cricket.
Flower Angel.
That
was good.
Oh, yeah, Flower Angel. What did you guys do last night? Was that any fun? So, what are your impressions of Edstone so far? What does it make you think of it? If you had to describe Edstone in maybe one or two or three words, what are those words?
It's nice. It's like a big family.
Cozy, comfortable, and pleasant.
Spectacular.
Amazing. Joyful.
Quaint, charming, and just like beautiful.
I was gonna say beautiful.
I love it.
Majestic.
Big, nice, and cozy?
Yeah.
That's awesome. You guys have a great day today. Thank you for the sound bites.
Thank you.
You're a great rest.
Yes. Thank you.
It's time to do.
Good morning.
Good.
How was sleeping last night? What's that?
Less cold.
Less cold?
Yes, sir.
Like cold, a little cold in the mornings?
Yes, sir. Bring enough clothes for the nights.
What are you guys doing today?
Soccer and basketball.
What was that?
Soccer and basketball.
Oh, sweet. Awesome. Which one do you want to do the most?
Soccer.
Edstone in a few words, your experience so far, what would you say that would be?
Awesome.
Oh, yeah, super cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's been really, really cool experience. Yeah.
Love you, Mom. Love you, Mom.
So what are you guys doing today?
Soccer.
Soccer and basketball.
Basketball.
And Stratford.
And Stratford.
Canoeing.
And canoeing. Sweetie, what it's like sleeping in the tents? Any funny stories or happenings that that you don't mind sharing?
Several times I've almost kicked down the tent.
Really?
Standing up at the top, I slide down and then it almost kicks over the tent pole.
We've had a certain member sleepwalk and sleep talk or scream. So, interesting.
Well, one night when it was raining, there was so much rain that one part of the tent kind of like caved in because there was like a huge puddle of rain. So we woke up and was staring at that above our heads. It was pretty scary.
You thought you were going to get your bath early?
Yeah.
One night I found Daniel Van Halter laying on me.
Well, I wasn't expecting a vehicle mate to this class. I really liked it.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah,
I really enjoyed that. It's very practical. And
we did an oil change.
Brake pads
and the rotors.
Wow.
That's really cool. Changed the oil filter and, yeah, took the wheels off.
So do you guys have any advice for campers if they come to Edstone next year, given your experience so far?
Bring a jacket.
Yeah, bring warm clothing.
And warm sleeping bags.
So stay warm.
And sleep loads before you get here.
Yeah. So what was dancing like last night?
That was fun. The funniest part was when Danny Kokomaz would race to the other side of the hall to find a date to dance with.
If you were to describe Edstone and this experience so far,
what would those words be? So I'll start here and I'll go around, okay?
Truly an amazing experience to be here.
Awesome. I mean, hard to describe in just a few words.
Wonderful if the sun is shining.
Amazing.
A great experience to see God's second campus.
Awesome! It's a good bonding experience.
The campus has a millennial setting.
Cool.
Sweet flesh.
Let's tell him our dorm name on three.
David's Dedicated Daughters.
One, two, three.
David's Dedicated Daughters. With
nice. One, two, three.
Maximum
Jesus.
means maximum effort in Dutch.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. In Dutch.
I'm going back there.
Because we got Dutch people here.
Trumpet Daily Radio Show airs every morning at 7 a.m. Central Time on KPCG 101.3 FM in Edmond, Oklahoma.